Thank you. We might pray to get started. Lord, I just thank you for your presence in this place today. And I just pray as I speak this morning that you will just speak through me, that these words will be your words, and that you'll just prepare everyone's heart to hear something from you this morning. I just pray these in your name. Amen. If you told me a couple of months ago I'd be up here this morning, I probably would have laughed at you because at the time I wouldn't have had anything to say. I was in a place that was quite low, and honestly, I didn't believe God was moving in my life at all. But fast forward to now, still laughed when I was asked a little bit, but that was because God has been doing something in my life, and he's been blowing me away daily. So it was just kind of funny that I was asked at that moment. You know, God works in your life, you try and hide. I don't like being up the front. But what was funny about it is when God moves in your life, people can tell, people notice, people see, and that's the power of Jesus in your life. So my testimony today is one of God's goodness and faithfulness and how he's shown up in the struggle, what he's been teaching me, and how I've seen him move in my life as he's transformed my heart. It's not one of big moments, but one where he's met me in the quiet places of my heart, at home, and what he's been teaching me. So at the start of this year, I kind of just hit this point where I knew something had to change. I'd probably say that the last couple of years, I've just been in this place where I've just allowed my need for validation from others, my job, just to take over, and that led to a lot of anxiety, self-doubt, and a constant feeling of not being good enough. My identity was very much rooted in what others thought about me or how well I did my job. This stopped me from sharing ideas. Some of you probably noticed I did step back a little bit from being up the front for worship, stepping back from things, and it was all just because I didn't feel like I was good enough. Why would God use me? How could he use me? The problem with that, though, I was looking to people and things to tell me who I was. And when I do that, those things constantly change, and you can never amount or never be good enough in those moments. So, like I said, I knew something needed to change, and I'm a teacher, so I get lots of time off over Christmas, a lot of time of just sitting, and, you know, everyone else is still working, so lots of time to reflect. And during that time, I was reminded of a card thing that I was given way back when I was a teenager at youth group, and the card's titled Who I Am in Christ. I dug that out, realised that it was part of a larger book, so I bought the book and I started reading that over the Christmas holidays. And in that book there are three key themes, and they're biblical truths. They are: I am accepted in Christ, I am secure in Christ, and I am significant in Christ. So what does that mean? Accepted in Christ means you are fully accepted by God, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to perform to be loved. Hearing that was big, and that started to break down the cycle of seeking approval from people. When you know you're already accepted by God, you stop striving for validation. You're not crushed by rejection, and you're free to be your authentic self. The second point, secure in Christ. Your identity is stable and unchanging. It's not based on your circumstances, feelings, or performance. God doesn't change his mind about you. His love isn't conditional or temporary. This anchors you when you feel anxious, you doubt yourself, things don't go well, and instead of everything shaking your identity, you just stay grounded. And the last one, significant in Christ. This means your life has purpose and value. You are called and used by God. You are not overlooked. You are not enough. And you are part of God's plan. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This gave me the courage to, again, step into calling, serve even when I felt unqualified, and trust that God could use me. After I read that book, things started to shift. And one of the things that shifted was realizing that I don't have to live for the approval of others. When I focus on what God says about me, I don't have to constantly worry about where I stand. I can go back to those three truths. I'm accepted, I'm secure, I'm significant. That I know, and nothing can change that. The other week, I went out for a walk after work. Been a busy week. And I remember just God saying, Jesus didn't come to please people. He came to do the will of the Father. And that blew me away. And I sat with that for a couple of days. I shared that with someone at work and it blew them away. So this constant need for people pleasing, that was not of Jesus. And that was something that I am still working through, but something he's beginning to break down in me. The truth is, validation from the world is temporary. It might feel good in the moment, but it never lasts. But when my validation comes from Christ, it's secure, it's unchanging, and it's enough. And there's just so much freedom in that. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I'm still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I read that this week as preparing for today, and I was just blown away by that because it's very much true. If we were trying to please the world in everything that we did, we'd be walking away from what God wants us to do. The second thing that shifted for me was the importance of surrender and to surrender fully. I think it was last month Shaz shared a message and she showed two images, the one of a self-directed life and the one of a Christ-directed life. And I remember those images having a big impact on me at the time. And I would have very much said that most of the time I was living a self-directed life. I would say that I surrender, but there would be parts of my life that I couldn't fully surrender. You know, he'd be on the throne at some points, but then I was like, move aside, it's my turn to sit on the throne, because I thought I knew better. I like to think of it as a car. Jesus is in the driving seat, I'm in the passenger seat, but I was leaning over to take control of the wheel at times, which led, you know, if someone takes the wheel while you're trying to drive, I don't think it would end very well. So I just had this moment after that message where I was like, how can I say I trust God and not allow him to into the certain parts of my life? And a big area where I was doing that was in God's ability to use me. I would say, use me, Lord, but, you know, I don't want to do that. That's not for me. And a big part of that is every time I get up to worship lead, it's not something that I'm hugely comfortable with, getting up and singing in front of people, but I know that God has put a heart of worship in me. So why would I deny his ability to use me in this place? You know, the Bible has numerous stories of God using ordinary people to complete unqualified tasks, tasks they were unqualified for. Moses didn't think he could speak. David was overlooked. Peter failed again and again, and yet God still used them. If God could use those people, why was I not letting him use me in the same way? He's not looking for the most qualified. He's looking for a surrendered heart. It's waking up each day and saying, God, I trust you more than I trust myself. And this is a daily thing. Surrendering and stepping into what God has for us is not always comfortable. It stretches us. It exposes insecurities. Puts you in situations where you feel like you're not ready. And something I've realized is that what God calls us to do is often uncomfortable. But that's exactly the point. It's in these moments where we're forced to rely on him in a way we wouldn't if we stayed in what is familiar and comfortable. It'd be quite easy for me to sit up the back and just worship over there. Would have been quite easy to say no this morning to sharing and sit in my chair over there and just listen to what other people had to say. But I have to, and what I've been learning is I have to step out in faith and trust that God can use me. It's in these moments where I have to remember that, you know, I might not be confident in my ability to do what he's called me to do, but I am confident in his ability to walk through me. He's asked me to trust in him, and I'm learning that that's something I need to do more fully. It's in the uncomfortable places where growth really happens, and stepping up and stepping out in the last couple of months, I've noticed a difference in me. There's a reliance on God like I've never had before. Like I said, it's not easy. I'm someone that really likes to have control of things. Stepping up and stepping out means letting go of that control, stepping into uncertainty and trusting God with the outcome. Choosing to say yes even when you feel afraid or unqualified. But every time I've stepped out, even when I've been unsure, God has met me there. And I've learnt that obedience doesn't require certainty, just trust. He doesn't call the confident, he calls the willing. So I'm still learning, I'm still growing, still surrendering. But what I know for sure is this: God is faithful. When you build your life on who he says you are, everything changes. And that's a peace that I will continue to walk in. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. When you were, you know, sort of saying how you felt uncertain and, you know, sort of looking to God, you know, so a lot of that resonated with me. I find it difficult to do things of my own accord. I oftentimes look for approval from people. It's just interesting that, you know, so both of us are sharing and both of us are educators. So I wonder what that says. Anyway, My story is a little bit different. I guess, you know, sort of Nate was sharing from today, and I want to go back a little bit to how I became a Christian, because I think that, you know, sort of for me that's part of my story. So I was born in Malaysia back when it was still a third world country. To parents that I guess they called themselves Buddhists, but they really were more Taoists or Confucianism, with, you know, sort of idol worship thrown in as well. So I was very sickly as a child, and my mother decided that the best thing to do, from, you know, all the wisdom around her, that told her that this was the right thing to do. She dedicated me to the Goddess of Mercy. So the Goddess of Mercy was my godmother for a number of years. And with that came monthly visits to the temple, stuff that they prayed over, ground down and put into liquid that I would drink, pendants that I would have to wear to ward off the evil spirits and try and keep me healthy. Not that it did anything, really. But because of all those visits to the temple, in many ways, I was probably quite rebellious, even at that age. And I knew that it wasn't... nothing felt or sat right with me. And while my mother was praying, I would be, saying, nah, no, don't believe in this. This is not off me. And I would try and ward off a lot of what was happening. So when I was about 9 or 10 years old, the Jehovah's Witness came knocking at our door, and Mum very kindly agreed to let them come and have weekly sessions with me in the guise of improving my English. So one of the things that my parents really wanted was for us as children to go to an English-speaking school, learn English, and therefore be able to go overseas to study. So this was, according to my mother, something that was, fortuitous, that, someone was going to come and give free English lessons. And so I spent about 3 years learning about the Jehovah's Witness, creed, Bible, etc., etc. And it did sort of resonate in some ways with me, the stories about God and His mercy and His forgiveness. Of course, the idea of salvation, is different. But, there were things in there that were enough to get me thinking about God. As a result of that, I actually read through the Jehovah's Witness Bible, right through. Still didn't quite come to any kind of conclusion about becoming a Jehovah's Witness, because obviously that was their goal. And when I was 12, as part of the book list that we had to put together to go into high school, we all had to buy a King James Version Bible. And so I read that cover to cover. And in reading that, that prompted me to think a lot about God and His mercy and His, His goodness and His grace. And I remember one night, and I don't remember the exact date or whatever, but, when I was 12, one night, I prayed, God, if this is for real and you are the God of the Bible that I've read, I want in. Because the idea of God who redeemed His people over and over again, despite all the sins and the going away from God, the betrayal, God still kept on going, He kept redeeming His people, and so while I didn't know a lot about Jesus, because as I read through the Bible, it was more about that whole idea of God's plan for salvation. So when I prayed, it was to God, without much of an understanding of Jesus. That came along later, but that was the first time that I prayed the prayer. I asked for, didn't know about forgiveness in a sense, but I know that, I asked for God to come into my life. And because my parents were not necessarily, believers, I kept that quiet for a long time. I was 16 when I wrote them a letter because I couldn't tell them face to face, I guess. I wrote them a letter on Christmas, and I shared with my class, a couple of my classmates, that, you know, so I may not necessarily have a home to go home to, because I didn't know how my parents would actually accept the fact that I had become a Christian and was choosing a faith that was not theirs. My father was not happy. He didn't speak to me for months. And my mother was trying to, you know, sort of placate him and work, you know, sort of try and help me work out what I really wanted to do, and whether I really believed or not. But that was the time when, in itself, I guess chose to stand up for my belief. So that was when I was 16. Now, I guess my testimony is really about, you know, sort of life choices and consequences, and I guess, you know, sort of how God still has a hand over everything. See, as a result of my parents' decision to dedicate me to an idol, when I became a Christian, I had visitations, not of the good kind, in the middle of the night, because there was a spiritual struggle between the world of Christianity and the other world. In itself, the world that holds or held me, in itself, from when I was a child. So I had to work through quite a fair bit of stuff. I had to get rid of a lot of stuff, you know, sort of a lot of baggage that came along with what my parents had decided. Then I guess, you know, sort of the other thing too was, so because of their decision to send me to an English-speaking school and, you know, to send me overseas, I came to Australia when I was 18 with one-hand luggage, lots of guitar, a rice cooker, you know, to land in Melbourne Airport to meet a couple that I have not met before, stayed in their home, and had to find a place to live so that I could begin my university studies. You know, so that's a consequence of, you know, sort of my parents' decision as well. But through that, you know, sort of I guess I learned, you know, sort of resilience. I learned how to cook because I never did before. You know, so I learned how to keep house. I had to learn to be with other people. And through all of that, you know, sort of God was faithful and He, you know, sort of kept me going. I came to Australia thinking that I would do a science degree, become a work in a research lab somewhere, and possibly go, you know, so, and was going to go back to Malaysia to do that. But God had other plans, and, you know, so in some ways, a lot of the things that happened to me in my lifetime, you know, were not my plans but God's plan, In the midst of working as a volunteer at a hospital lab, I discovered that wasn't really the life for me. I loved science and I loved what I was doing, but it didn't really fit me as a person. And so I then had to start thinking about, you know, sort of what I was going to do as a career if that wasn't going to be, you know, what I was going to end up doing. And through my Bible study group and the girls that, you know, sort of we were sharing, we you know, sort of I landed on becoming a teacher. So I did another year and did that. And I must say that, you know, sort of again, that's a God-led decision, not something that I had actually decided. In fact, Shina and I was already going out at that point, and he said that he was never, ever going to marry a teacher because his mother was a teacher. Yeah, so God's plans, right? yeah. God's plans are amazing, career choice, marriage and children and all of that, has, I guess, been something that, God has to be in it, God has to, cover all of our good and bad choices, if you like, are the decisions that we make. Every single choice we make or the choices that people make for us have consequences, and yet God is still in control. So I guess that was what I wanted to end up with, that despite my upbringing, despite my parents and what they believed, etc. I still ended up where I am because that's what God had intended all along, and that's what He has designed, and that's what He had planned for. So in my, I think it was would have been in my 20s, I decided that I would look for a life verse, and so my life verse is Psalms 21:12. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. And I've been standing since. I stand on the ground, the rock that is God. And He makes everything stable. He's the one that makes my path straight, and He continues to lead and continues to, work out all the consequences that come from the decisions that we make. Thank you.